All right, we have been reporting on the desperate situation in Syria. Thousands have been fleeing the city of Aleppo, many of them trying to get into Turkey. 2.5 million Syrians have already crossed that border during the war, and there's a small army of ordinary Turks quietly volunteering to help them. Here's NPR's Peter Kenyon.
It's Sunday afternoon, and a commercial warehouse on Istanbul's European side is doing weekend duty as a humanitarian aid staging area. These people loading sacks of food into their cars are all volunteers. There are no uniforms, no logos, and no leader. But questions do tend to get directed to an energetic woman who still can't believe this improvised operation is actually working.
We never thought we could do it. We still don't believe we could do it.
Zeynep Kermus Herbash says last fall, after seeing one too many heartbreaking pictures of dead Syrian children on social media, she offered to coordinate aid deliveries in Istanbul. The next thing she knew, hundreds of families were depending on her and her friends. She makes it sound simple.
We put a post on Facebook saying, this weekend we're going to give food and, you know, baby clothes and stuff to X amount of families. So people just buy things online and just send them to our depot here.
She's not fond of her online nickname, the Angel Without Wings, but she does appreciate how quickly social media helped her find others who were just waiting for a chance to share more than their sympathy.
And look, we have an American here as well. Come here.
I'm Valerie Tashran, and I'm from Fresno, California.
After a decade living in Istanbul, Tashran noticed more and more panhandlers in her neighborhood and thought there must be a better way to help.
Is it doing ultimate good? And so I wanted something more organized. My mom, who lives in the U.S., also wanted to direct some aid to refugees. And so when I saw the announcement on Twitter,
The group finds the neediest families by working with neighborhood community centers like this one. They've been springing up to help Syrians, just as Herbash's aid group did. The next stop is a neighborhood of textile factories where many Syrians have under-the-table jobs. A disturbing story waits in one of the drafty cement apartment blocks. At the door, Herbash hangs back.
You can go in. I'll stay outside.
Okay.
Yes.
Inside, Syrian Darar Al-Jassim, tall and barefoot, offers visitors a seat on the mismatched donated furniture. He tries his basic English to explain the situation, which is distressing.
My son, every day bleeding, you need bone marrow transplantation.
The son, who bleeds every day and needs a bone marrow transplant, is 7-year-old Abdelatif, who's busy playing a video game on the couch. He has a rare disorder called acquired aplastic anemia. Jassim's phone is full of pictures of his son bleeding from the nose and mouth and under his skin. And here's the excruciating twist. The most likely blood marrow donor match is Abdelatif's older brother, Abdullah. Months ago, he was right there with them when the family boarded a smuggler's boat bound for Greece. But when people saw Abdelatif bleeding heavily, his parents had to take him off the boat, leaving the 9-year-old brother to go on alone. Somehow, he made it to his uncle's in Germany, and the Al-Jassims have been waiting for permission to join them. By this time, Zeynep Herbash has slipped into the room. She's quietly comforting Abdelatif's distraught mother. But as we get back to the car, she explains why she was reluctant to go in. The emotional toll these visits exact can be heavy.
Yeah, I try not to go in because I get upset. I used to go in and know everybody's names and get in touch with them, but then they start dying and just have to find a way to distance yourself from the whole thing.
With a little shake of her head, Herbash heads off to the next stop, on a mission of mercy that right now seems to have no end. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Istanbul.